Father, we come before you in this time and place, bringing all that we are right now into contact with all that you are. And Father, we are reminded tonight that you are a God that provides, that you give us what we need, and you meet us right in the midst of where we're at. Thank you for the reminder of that song, that you will find us where we are. And as we worship and as we learn, might you expand our understanding and our ability to follow you in the ways that you are, God. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Well, hi, everyone. Hi. It's good to see you all tonight. We are in this Promise App series, and we've gone forward with the understanding that as people, we're familiar with promises. We see promises made, and we see promises broken. And we've also made promises, and we've also broken them. But yet, the one thing that remains true in regard to promises is that God is the one who keeps his promises. It started with his people Israel through Abraham, and it continued through generations and thousands of years. And as Galatians 3:16 says, it was through Jesus Christ that God is fulfilling his promises that he made back in that day. And that is what we live in this moment right now. God's promises are tried and true. They are tested and proven for generations. Last week, I spoke on joy and faithfulness. And my hope is that if you were here, that the last 6 or 7 days of your life have been way more joyful as you have reflected on how God is faithful to you, maybe than the week was before. And tonight we're talking about provision. This last spring, I was in the final year of my seminary run. 5 full years pursuing my master's in divinity. And I did something that I hadn't done for a very long time, in that I read a book that I picked. It was a great experience. I recommend it sometime. And the book that I picked was called Unbroken. And the book itself is about a man named Louis Zamperini, a World War II veteran. Now, I had a couple people approach me after the services this morning and say, hey, you ruined the book for me. So if you're in it, I'm sorry. I apologize before I start to talk about this. But Zamperini grew up with a tumultuous childhood and teenage life. And later on in 1936, he would find himself in the Berlin Olympics competing as a long-distance runner. The Olympics went relatively well for him, and he returned back to the United States to continue to train with a pretty bright future. But as history tells us, war broke out, and he enlisted in the Army Air Force to be a bombardier for a B-24 bomber. And in the Pacific theater of war, he would survive multiple missions in that bomber. But in May of 1943, he and his crew set out to find another bomber that fell into the Pacific Ocean. And what they didn't know as they climbed into that airplane was that their fate would be the same that day. Barely surviving the crash, he and two of his crewmates would cling to a life raft. And over the period of the next 46 days, they would drift over 2,000 miles through the Pacific Ocean. They survived by eating fish, some occasional birds that flew too close, and constantly fought off shark attacks. Eventually, they'd be captured by the Japanese, but that was only their beginning. He would undergo 2 years of the worst torture and oppression imaginable, done by some of the worst war criminals of World War II. His POW camp would be liberated, and after it was liberated, he began a very long journey home to face what was perhaps even more difficult, the memories of what happened and post-traumatic stress syndrome. He would spiral and spiral and spiral until September of 1949, when he wandered into a tent in which Billy Graham was sharing the gospel. And through that night and the night that followed, Billy Graham shared the story of the love of Jesus Christ. And during that experience, as Zamperini wrestled through what he was hearing based on his experience, he remembered a prayer that he prayed from that life raft. And he said, "If you save me, I will serve you forever." And that night, he went back to his home and got on bended knee and surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. And as the book reads, in a single silent moment, his rage, his fear, his humiliation and helplessness had fallen away. Because what he now knew in full was that he was a new creation in Jesus Christ. Now that is a wonderful story, but it gets even better. Because God was not done providing for Louis. 1 year later, after he returned from that crusade, he would be in what is called the Sugamo prison in Japan that housed the very soldiers that kept him as a prisoner in those war camps and committed those atrocious acts. And what he would do is stand on a platform much similar to the one that I'm standing on tonight. And he shared through words the gospel of Jesus Christ to those who inflicted the torture upon him. But then he stepped off of the platform and went individually to these people who had inflicted so much pain upon him and forgave each one and physically embraced them. Now that's a profound story. God had provided for Louis Zamperini, and Louis received. And I found out today after the second service that 6 weeks ago, after more than 90 years on this earth, Louis passed from here and is now in heaven with Jesus. And shortly before his death, he told the author of this book, "I believe that I've been able to live 90 plus years, so for the fact that my story can be told through your book and people can be drawn to Jesus Christ in the same way that I was." He received provision in all the steps of his life. And for Louis Zamperini, God had a purpose for providing for him, which is the same purpose that you and I live in tonight. I think one of the most critical things that we need to understand about provision is that God has a purpose for it. And as we look at the scriptures, we find three different reasons and three different purposes of why God provides that are helpful for us in this conversation tonight. In Ezekiel 34, God says, "I will provide for them, my people Israel, a land renowned for its crops, and they will no longer be victims of famine in the land or bear the scorn of the nation. Then they will know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, and that they, the Israelites, are my people, declares the sovereign Lord." The first purpose that we see is as God provides to you and I, he reminds us that he is with us. The most frequent statement that's given to us in the scriptures by God over and over and over again through the hundreds upon thousands of pages, depending on what version of the scriptures you carry, is that I will be with you. He gives this promise to people that are in the Bible stories, whether they've forgotten about God's presence or maybe they're about to face some insurmountable odds in whatever context that they're in. And he needs to remind them, and they need to receive that reminder that God is with them. In the words of Isaiah, it says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." What I want you to notice with me tonight is that the words of the scripture do not say if, it's when. Because as we all know through the experience of our life, we walk through rivers. We step into fires, into contexts, into challenges, into hardships in our life. But what we may be facing, perhaps even right now, and seeking for God to provide for us in, I think it's really important to understand this soul reality when we look at the words of the scriptures and seek the character of God and his provision, that we are not alone. And the God of this universe, who created your being, is with you right in the middle of it. The first purpose is that we will know that he is with us. And the second one is that we will know that he is God. It might seem relatively simplistic to say that, but consider one of Jesus' disciples named Thomas' story. After Jesus was crucified and resurrected, the story of his resurrection began to travel. And pretty quickly thereafter, a group of his disciples were in the upper room. And they went around, and eventually Thomas blurted out a declaration, almost an angry one, that said, "I am not going to believe until I'm able to see the nail holes in his hands and put my hand in his side where the spear was." And right at that moment, God met his need, because Jesus walked into the room and he walked directly up to Thomas and he said, "See?" He was able to place his hand in his side where that spear was, exactly as he needed. And what was Thomas's response? He bent down on a knee and he said, "My Lord and my God." And the reality that we need to focus on in the midst of Thomas's story is that when God met his need, he realized once again that he was who he truly said he was, and that Jesus indeed was this Messiah. When we are provided for, whether they're moments that are seemingly insignificant or profound, whether they are provisions that we receive from the hand of God that are massive or tiny, maybe crystal clear or somewhat mysterious, God is giving us a reminder through that provision that yes, He is God, and He does hold all things together. The first part of God's purpose for providing is that we'll know without a doubt that He's with us. And the second, that we will know that He is God. And lastly, as we see in this scripture, that we will know that we are His people. As He has created the heavens and the earth, He's also given life to me and to you. But it's not just that. He knows intimately the details of our lives, the experiences of our days and hours, and even the hairs on your head. It's a pretty profound reality to reflect on, that the God who holds all this world together has the hairs on your head counted. We belong to Him. And a core part of our identity at the end of the day is that we are God's beloved children, and nothing can change that. When He provides to us, He is giving us reminders of the fact that we are not alone, that He is with us. Secondly, that He is God, and lastly, that we are His people. And I think the implications of understanding God's purpose of provision, it helps us to understand that our needs, as significant as they are not bigger than the God that we serve. Now, whatever problems or challenges we might be encountering, God is bigger than those. And I think we also find ourselves in a place regarding the purpose of God's provision, of understanding and being more aware of and apt to see and effectively respond to the way that He might be providing for us, rather than being prone to finding gaps in God's provision. For most of us, if you're like me, I think the provision of God is not necessarily something that you live every day of your lives as a core way to operate. Because I think as human beings, maybe in this country even, we are prone to depend on ourselves. We go about our day-to-day without the knowledge that God is providing constantly for us. But I have found it that when I find myself in a season of life or a moment where I need God desperately to do something, that's when my understanding and my awareness of His provision for me just gets spiked. I remember, for instance, with crystal clarity when I was 9 years old. And I prayed with all of my heart for one of the first times. And the reason why I was doing that was because one of my grandmothers, whom I loved, was about to undergo a surgery that her life hung in the balance in. And I prayed with all of my heart. And I remember exactly where I was standing in the kitchen. Perhaps you have a moment like that. And what ended up happening was God brought her through that surgery. And I'm grateful for that. And in this room, I think we share moments and experiences of which God has met our need in that kind of fashion. But if we're being real and honest, we need to embrace a reality that is tension-filled, that we also carry moments with us that aren't crystal clear where God was providing. And I think making sense out of this tension has to do with beginning to embrace that mystery of God's provision in our seasons of life. And I think taking a look at how God provides and even sharing stories of how that happens can help us. As we look throughout the scriptures, here are some ways that God provides. It started with Abraham. He told Abraham that He was going to provide a generation and generation and generation of people through him. Then when that generation of people showed up, God provided for them when they wandered in the desert after the Exodus. And every morning, without fail, there was this bread from heaven that was called manna. And they didn't always want it, but it was there, and it was perfect enough for that given day. The Psalms say God provides for the needs of the poor, and that God provided for the redemption of His people. And as we worship tonight and consider God's provision, let's never forget the reality that God provided the highest need for the human race in providing a way to defeat death and defeat sin through the work of Jesus Christ here on earth, in order that we might have heaven when we might pass from this place. I've also heard many stories of the way that God has provided in individualized and specific needs. In fact, kind of humorously, at some point in the not so distant history, God gave someone a very brilliant mind who invented air conditioning. And it's something that we as Minnesotans have loved in the last few weeks of our lives. With all seriousness, God has also provided resources. And maybe you're in that reality tonight. I have friends of mine who maybe in their individual personal lives have needed God to pull through with a specific amount. And even a good friend of mine who started an organization to meet the needs of the poor, God has provided the individual and specific amount of financial resource in order for those individuals and my friend to continue in their endeavors of life and their endeavors of making an impact. I've heard stories of how God has provided friendship for people who are going through a very difficult time when they didn't think anybody else was with them. And symbolically, that was a reminder to them that God was with them. And even through that, as simple as it might seem, God provided a meal on a doorstep in a time of grief and sadness that was the exact thing that that family or that individual might have needed. For every single one of us, God provides us with the same amount of time every day to enjoy and to live for Him in. And we are living even in this moment in the gift of life that is a provision of God. God provides His peace and His strength. God provides His mercy and His joy. And God provides His presence. And it goes on and on and on and on, whether aware of it or not. And these are things that He gives to us as a reminder of how He is fulfilling His promise in every moment of our lives. I found this kind of random and obscure story in the Hebrew Scriptures in the book of 2 Kings that give us a really good way to pray as it relates to God's provision in our lives. And if you bear with me, I want to set up this story because it's pretty cool when you get down to it. But the nation of Israel, we find, are at war with a country called Aram, a nation called Aram. And the prophet Elisha, God's prophet that He has been speaking through, is with his servant and going on his journey. And in that place and time, Elisha has this inside track on what the king of Aram is going to do with his military forces as they're up against God's people. And as the king of Aram makes a move, Elisha finds out about it. Then he relays that to the king of the Israelites. And the king of the Israelites makes adjustments with his military forces. And that kind of dance continues on and on. But then the king of Aram finds out about it. And he knows that Elisha has been doing this. And gets furious. And in the middle of the night sends this massive force of chariots and horses and soldiers to surround the city of Dothan where Elisha is in that given time and place. That's a pretty big thing to be up against. The odds are definitely not in their favor because that force's mission was crystal clear. And one single clear focus. Get Elisha. Now to take a pause real briefly. In a room this size, it's really important that we just pause and say, perhaps in a symbolic way, you find yourself in a place like Elisha and his servant were in, where the circumstances of your life have led you into a season where there's circumstances that are just circling around you, and it's oppressive, and you're being pressed in from all sides. I think if you're in that season or in any season of your life, it's important that we listen in to the prayer that Elisha prayed for his servant. We pick the story up in 2 Kings chapter 6. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" the servant asked. "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "For those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And I think it's helpful to add a little bit of anecdotal comment here. As the servant, you got to be thinking that if you were in his shoes, you might say to Elisha, "Are you seeing what I'm seeing right now? I mean, imagine this. There's forces that are just as close as possible to you that want you right away." And so Elisha prays, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." And then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. What God allowed Elisha's servant to see was where he was at and how he was present to them and fulfilling their needs. Because what the servant was not aware of is that, yes, it was true. God was actively providing for them, even when it seems like every single odd possible was stacked against them. The story goes on. It's kind of cool. And what ends up happening is God puts blindness on this army from Aram. And then Elisha leads them to the Israelites. The Israelites give them food, and then God restores their sight, and then the soldiers from Aram leave without any fight whatsoever. It's remarkable, and I kind of find it cool. But the prayer that Elisha prays is what we need to hone in on. And it's this: open my eyes so that I might see. Open my eyes so that I might see where and how you are with me. Open my eyes so that I might see what and when you're providing. When you and I, when we pray that prayer, God will nudge your heart and will nudge your mind towards a more active understanding of just how indeed he's providing for your needs. Anytime I get up and speak, the first audience that I speak to is myself. And so this week, I've been praying that prayer to cultivate an awareness of God's provision for me in my life. Just a couple moments. This Wednesday, the first thing in the morning, I had a coffee conversation with a good friend of mine here at Westwood who shared her story with me and gave me wonderful inspiration for this message. Because I was praying, God, I need you to provide a message. I'm just being real with you. And it was a really wonderful time that I shared with her. I had space on Friday morning to be still and silent before him. And that's what I needed the most, because that kind of time is pretty far and few between in my house. In the middle of the week, I played an amazing game of Duck Duck Goose with my son Everett. And that reminded me of what was most important. That was a provision from God. And then after I finished the Element service last evening, I got home. And to be real honest, I was a little nervous about this message. And as I was putting my son to bed, out of nowhere, he just started singing, "He's got the whole world in his hands." You can't manufacture this stuff. And I was reminded in that moment that, yes, it is true. God holds everything together. And the next day, which is today, we'll share a wonderful day of understanding his provision. Then he gave me space and inspiration to make some revisions to this message. And then he also gave me the practical wisdom to not stay up an hour or two more in the wee hours of the night to see the first few groups tee off at the Open Championship. In England, sometimes his provision can get just really practical in regard to wisdom. So I went to bed. But it's been a cool week for me, and I hope this next week of your life will be a cool week for you. As you join me in praying that prayer, God, open my eyes so that I may see. Now, becoming more aware to the provision of God is not something that we alone can do by ourselves. We need to lean and rest upon God. But yes, it does involve some effort. And I want to give you three invitations this week in your life to cultivate a further awareness of where God is providing in your life. And the first of that is to be open. When you open your heart and your mind, first and foremost, perhaps for some of us in the room, to the possibility that God is providing for you, or maybe you do so in a way that opens your mind to looking at the more simple ways that God is providing for you, God will show up. And it might not necessarily be in ways that you expect. The reason why I say that is because I look back at my life, and in some of the most heightened places of need, what God was doing is he was providing for what he knew that I needed through his infinite wisdom, and not necessarily what I wanted in every season. Now, that doesn't stand true for every single way, but there have been many times that that has been true, and I've needed to be open to receive his provision. The words of Isaiah, "My thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything that you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." Now, by no means is that a statement from God to you tonight that you should receive as condescending and make you feel small. Rather, receive that and be inspired by it because of the bigness of who God is and how he operates. It's way beyond our ability to understand it. And by no means tonight am I saying, pray that prayer, open my eyes so that I may see, without expectations that God will provide, because we have to go about it with the expectation that God is going to show up. Because without expecting that God will show up, we won't have to see it. Rather, what I'm saying is that when we pray this prayer, to be open means to hold on loosely to our expectations of exactly when, where, and what God is going to provide us with, and to be prepared with God to surprise you in the way that he meets your need. Maybe this week you can continually allow your mind and heart the space to be open in a brand new way to receive how God is indeed providing for you. The second invitation that I want to give you this evening is to be trusting. Jesus says in Matthew 6 that God knows our need before we even ask him. And that's something that I hope will inspire trust, that God has your back. Maybe for you tomorrow, it means that to wake up, no matter what circumstances you're facing, to pray that prayer, God, open my eyes so that I may see, and just simply get out of bed. And go into your day knowing that God is indeed going to show up, and trust him. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Very familiar and helpful reminder from the Proverbs. Lastly, the third is to be patient. Patience, if you're anything like me, is something that you don't do well naturally. Some of us might struggle with us more than others, but if we are open as we seek God through this prayer, if we are trusting, patience is a character trait that will allow space in our mind and our heart to wait upon God for him to show up in the ways that he does. Last night I was reminded of a song by one of my favorite artists. His name is Dave Barnes. And if you're not familiar with Dave Barnes, one of his most familiar songs on the radio today is called God Gave Me You. And he teamed up with another one of my favorite musical artists named Johnny Lang. And they produced this just beautiful, bluesy, earthy, raspy song called What I Need. And one of the lyrics that's in there captures my attention in this aspect, in that as they shared through this musical piece of work, I was praying without patience. And then goes into the chorus, you give me what I need, even on the brightest day, but even in a hurricane. You give me what I need, even when it's way too much, even when I'm down to dust. My friends, God loves to provide for us. And he does it all the time. And by praying the prayer, God, open my eyes that I may see, and maybe finding one of those three invitations for you this week to give effort and energy to, I really think that this is a week that God is going to meet your needs in perhaps an even brand new way. And so together tonight, what I want to invite us to do in just a minute as the band comes is stand up and declare that we do indeed trust God, and we do indeed want to make ourselves available with open minds and open hearts to him showing up in the ways that he does. Would you join me in prayer and stand with me? Father, tonight for us to get our mind around the ways that you provide can be an interesting and perhaps even somewhat challenging reality to do. And I pray that you would give us something to take from this place, to incorporate into our lives in this next week. And might you give us supernatural power to trust in your goodness, and supernatural power to be able to observe and watch as you provide in our lives.